We're doing our class on dating. We had discussed yesterday the importance of attaining equilibrium, that before we date, we have to have a clear picture of who we are. We have to reach a certain plateau. Although we always aspire to keep growing, we also have to have a certain baseline. We have to have a certain consistency within our personality, within our observance, within our aspirations, because when we're dating, we're actually putting ourselves, our aspirations, our values on the table. And if those have been in flux, so then it's illogical to be dating. So yes, a person wants to be married. That doesn't necessarily mean that he is prepared to make that move correctly. So we have to attain equilibrium. And we mentioned a few aspects of our personality that have to have equilibrium. Our value system, our belief system, our level of religiosity, our aspirations. These are all components that affect who you will marry. So, the difficulty is that people often find themselves to be very balanced, even though someone on the outside would tell you, no, buddy, hold off. And an intelligent person knows that he needs external feedback. It's not enough to do it on his own. And as we often do, as we study, we're going to discuss two contradictory concepts, and then it's your responsibility to find the balance between the two. So I just mentioned that we need external input. We should find someone who could give us input. Now, what's the contradictory message? Here's a rule for life, and it's especially true in dating. Whenever you take counsel, at the end of the day, the one who bites the bullet is you. The person who gave you that advice goes home, he's got his family to deal with, he's got his life to deal with. If he told you get married or don't get married, whatever his counsel was, at the end of the day, the one who lives with the result of that advice is you. Even if they're your best friend, and even if they're your parent, at the end of the day, it's you. So you have to remember that whenever you're taking counsel, there is this disclaimer, buyer beware. At the end of the day, it's your life. Now, it's not only your life in respect to who's going to live with the outcome, it's also your life in respect to who has the more complete perspective. Sometimes an external source will give you an insight that you don't see yourself. But sometimes when you consult with someone, they don't have all the facts. We have a rule in Halacha, "En ladayan ela ma she'einav ro'ot." A judge can only judge based upon what his own eyes see. People will sometimes present a question and omit facts and say, well, the rabbi is a holy person. I'm sure his answer is correct. But the halacha doesn't say that. The halacha says, even if you ask the greatest rabbi, he can only answer you based on the facts presented. And that's a limiting fact. When you ask a rabbi or anyone else a question, meaning they're only going to get a certain amount of understanding into what your life is all about. Sometimes that's enough. Sometimes they perceive things that the person himself does not perceive. And sometimes they are missing crucial facts. And that's a very big difficulty whenever answering people. When people come to me with a shayla, I prefer answering them calmly and within a conversation, and not on the fly, as we're finishing davening. This past Shabbos, someone came with a question. I had two such questions. Friday afternoon after Mincha, when there were 10 minutes left to sundown, or 8 minutes left to sundown, someone came up to me just as I'm starting Kabbal Shabbos. He has an emergency question. So I walked out of shul and tried to address his question. But we were working against the clock because the solution to his question involved certain things that involved desecrating Shabbos. I said to him, you got 5 minutes to sundown, but here's what you can do to resolve your problem. Working under pressure, did I necessarily get an accurate take of his story? No. I told him, based on what you've told me, this is the answer. I recommend Matzei Shabbos, you call back, and we go through all the facts again. If you're halacha l'maaseh, you're going to go by this, or come after davening, we'll talk about it more calmly. Same thing happened when? Same thing happened Friday, Shabbos afternoon. I was on my way out to Mincha. I was already walking up the block, and I had enough time to get there on time, and someone stops me and says, Rabbi, I have to ask you a question now before sunset. So I go back home, and I realize now I'm going to run, come to shul with my tongue out, right? And he had three questions. Number one was really pertinent to them. Number two and three, well, they could have waited till Matzei Shabbos. So when he was done with number one and went on to two and three, I said, wait, two and three, we'll talk Matzei Shabbos. I want to get a clear picture. Number one, you need an answer now. I'll try to answer you now. But number two and three, why should I answer you on the fly? This is a rule in life. You want an accurate answer, give accurate facts. I can tell you that before I ask my teachers questions, before I present questions, I will sometimes review the question, write it down numerous times to make sure I've clarified all the relevant facts. Very often I will sit down with my wife, write out the question once, twice, three times. We once had a very, very important question that was life-altering for our family. I wanted to take the counsel of my teachers, and my wife kept asking me, why aren't you asking? And I kept telling her, I don't feel like I've clarified it in my own mind. I don't feel like I have the facts clear that I could present it right. I can't ask it yet. And I kept rewriting it until I could boil it down to one paragraph. When I could boil it down to one, between one and two paragraphs and not five pages, then I knew I had the facts clear. I could summarize it, present it, and hear the answer. And that's what I did. I in fact did that, but it took me about 2 months, 2 to 3 months, to clarify in my own mind what were the real factors within this question. Okay, obviously on bigger questions, you need more clarity. But when you guys are going to consult with someone, whether you should start dating or not, take into account that it's your life. Whatever they're going to tell you, you're the one that's going to live with the outcome. So what's the balance between the two things we just said? On the one hand, I said, you do need external input. On the other hand, be careful how you take that external input. Now, part of the key to getting it right is going to someone who's not biased. On my way here today, I met a friend. I asked him, what do you do? So he said he is a marriage counselor for a certain chassidut. So I said to him, it's very interesting because I really like your chassidut, but I have one issue with your chassidut. They push people to get married too quickly. People do tshuva 2 months into the tshuva process. They're already setting them up to go out. And I think that's crazy. And I've seen so many divorces in your chassidut. So I'm happy you're a marriage counselor there. But you got a lot of work to do because there's a real problem. So if a person has a bias because his philosophy is you got to get married in 2 months after you did tshuva, that's a bias. I don't care if he has a hat and a title. At the end of the day, there's a bias there. If a person has a bias because they're your parent or your relative and they have this life's philosophy that says you have to own a Porsche, own a house, have an income of $500,000 a year before you can even think of taking the responsibility of family, so they also have a bias. People have biases. If your parents are against you making the move of becoming Orthodox, and they're scared that if you start dating, then that's like sealing, locking you in. That's also a bias. You want to try to get the counsel of someone who can think with you on your terms from your perspective. That's not easy. It's not easy, but that's what you got to do. And sometimes, even though a parent has a totally different perspective on life, a parent might not be Jewish, a parent might not be Orthodox, but they can think with the child. We had a student here whose father wasn't Jewish at all. He was Jewish because his mother was Jewish, but his father was not. And when he was dating, I called up his father and I said, I want you here. I want you on the next plane coming here because I think he's about to ruin the girl of his dreams. He's about to ruin the process. He's dating a girl and it should reach marriage and everything is going right and he's starting to do stupid things that are going to destroy it. and he needs someone to talk to, and it's not enough that he's talking to me. I want you here. So here I am talking to a person who's not Jewish about his son who is Jewish and very, very Orthodox. Like he became Hasidic. I wasn't sure I was kosher enough for him. But that doesn't matter. I told his father he has a connection to you and you're a balanced person, and I want you here. His father could afford it. He was a big-time philanthropist. And I said to him, you know, I want you here. Take a hotel room. Take your son out for a weekend and let him talk to you. Think things through with him. Let him get clarity with you at his side because he needs it. So a person doesn't have to be the same as you in order to be your sounding board. But they do need to have a perspective that's shared with yours, or your best interest at heart, and they should be able to understand your perspective on life. At the same time, they should be independent enough that they can tell you, no, this is a wrong move. You shouldn't be dating yet. The letters I gave you with the pamphlets, so the opening letter is very important. The opening letter is really a letter of approbation. Guys, you've done a lot. And its importance is, firstly, because it's true. Any guy that comes to Machon Meir has really done a lot. And secondly, because in dating, sometimes a person can be very discouraged. Sometimes things take a long time. Sometimes girls can be very rough. Sometimes a person doesn't see how he's getting out of this tunnel. And very often a person can be hard on themselves. And what happens is a person can lose perspective. A person can lose perspective of his self-value. We had a student here that got engaged, and the girl broke off the engagement. And when she broke off the engagement, so I asked why. Yeah, I was involved then. And she said she hasn't yet come to terms with the idea of marrying a chozer b'tshuva. I said, what does that mean, come to terms with? She said, well, it's such a big compromise. I'm not yet sure I've come to terms with it. So I told the guy, I don't think you should marry her. Even if she wants to get engaged again, I wouldn't get engaged with her. Your greatest accomplishment in life is the fact that you've done the tshuva process. If that, in her mind, is a compromise, then she's not the one. She's entitled to have whatever perspective she wants. But you can't take something which you've worked so hard for, and it's such a great accomplishment, and look down at it. Okay, she's entitled to run her own life, but then let her find someone who is an FFB, and let you find someone who appreciates you for what is your core strength in your personality, or one of your core strengths. So we're going to see that in dating, what's important is to know ourselves and to present ourselves, to be real about who I am, what my aspirations are. Whereas most of our classes in Machon Meir speak about where we should be, the dating class speaks about where we are. The focus is not where am I headed. Where you're headed, well, that's a good question that hopefully you're developing in the other classes. What's happening in a date is you have a meeting of two people where they're both standing today. Part of that is their dreams, that they have to work together. You know, if one of them dreams to be an astronaut, another one dreams to go scuba diving, it doesn't match. Where are they going to meet? Okay, it's a joke. But realistically speaking, if in a spiritual sense, one wants to be an astronaut, he's shooting for the heavens, and the other one wants to be a deep water swimmer, that's not the aspirations. So then you have a question, how does that work? So we're going to see that in dating we have to match on many levels. One of the questions I asked you over here, and that's a question which you have to give some thought to, is, okay, I'll go in the order of the questions. Where do you want to see yourself in 20 years, in 10 years, in 5 years, in 6 months? And that's why I said answer these in order, because if you start and answer, where do I want to be in 20 years? Okay, that's like, you guys are going to be middle-aged by then. A little bit older than I am now. Just a little bit. Some of you are going to be where I am now. Okay, but so where do you want to see yourself? Where do you want to be in 10 years? And this forces a person to really define for himself, like, what are my goals in life? Where am I going to be in 6 months? And does that fit into the picture? Because sometimes we have these highfalutin dreams, but we're doing nothing in terms of getting there. So it's question number one, which is really something which is worthwhile to do every year. You know, every year you should really fill out such a form and ask yourself and look at yourself that way. So what are your dreams, aspirations? Those are two different things. What character traits do you feel are your strongest character traits? That's a good question. The question before that of who are you? Describe yourself as you would want me to describe you to a prospective girl. It's a very important question. Very often people don't answer that. And then when they come to Shadchanit, they have a hard time describing themselves to a Shadchan. Well, fill it out. How do you want me to describe you? It would help if you go to a friend. I was once in Merkaz Arav, and every minute someone would come by and say, are you from England? And I'd say, no. And they'd say, okay. And by the fourth or fifth person, I said, wait a second, why are you asking me, am I from England? What happened? So I understood that there was someone standing at the front gate, and he said, I'm here, I'm looking for someone. And then he described someone, and he said, he's from England. Now, the rest of the description fit me. The part from England wasn't me. What was shocking to me was that I didn't think the rest of the description fit me at all. They said he has whatever color hair they call my hair, gingy. So they said that part I understood. But then they described a lot of things about he's this, he's that, he's the other thing. And when people came to me, I was shocked that they thought I fit that bill. It's not the way I would have described myself. It was very interesting for me to see how other people viewed me. That's why it might help if you can go to a friend and ask them to fill that out. And then look over, compare, speak together. Like, why? Tell him, you want to compare what you wrote with what he wrote. How does he view you? How do you view you? And compare. It might be interesting for you to see. I never thought of myself as a smiley person. That was one of the words that he used. I thought I was quiet. I used to sit in the corner. I didn't know anyone knew my name. I sat in the corner learning. It was shocking to me that he said smiley. He said a few other things, but it was shocking to me that people thought me when they heard smiley. Okay, it was interesting. What's your priority list? That's a very important question. I'll tell you a secret I don't usually say. Now that I deal less in Shiduchim, I could give away my secrets a little bit. When I ask people to describe themselves and to describe what they're looking for, I write it in the exact order that they said. And then I look over that order. And that gives me a vantage point on their priority list. Without asking them, I've gained an insight as to what's important to them. You ask a person, what are you looking for? Or you ask a person to describe themselves. So some people will talk about money. They'll talk about all kinds of things. And what's interesting is that people are pretty consistent. Sometimes I'll ask a person, aren't you looking for someone with good qualities? Like they should be a nice person? And they'll say, yeah, I guess. They don't say, of course. You know, sometimes people say, of course, I didn't think I have to mention that. But sometimes people say, yeah. And sometimes people say, well, I want someone who's firm. I want someone who has an opinion. I want someone who knows what he wants in life. And that takes precedence over being a nice guy, much to my surprise. But that's what some people say, yeah. To some girls, that's more important. Could be surprised. I have right now a girl like that. Her father keeps telling me, I don't know what she wants. And I know what she wants. I can't explain it to him, but her father keeps wondering. He brings her nice guys, and she doesn't want nice guys. Yeah, it's not what you'd think, but that's what she wants. What traits are you looking for within a partner? Oh, here you have to think a little bit. Am I looking for someone who's more loud, more quiet, more assertive, more docile? And one of the points I'm going to mention over and over again is that this isn't a question of good or bad. Very often people enter dating and they think that there's this ideal attitude and either I'm bad because I'm not there, or I'm good because I am there. Either the girl is bad because she doesn't fit what I'm looking for, or she's good because she does fit. We're not giving grades here. It's legitimate if a person is more assertive or more docile. Maybe in a class on Midot, maybe over there we'd speak about where the Torah wants us to be. But in dating, that's not what we're discussing. We're discussing who am I and what am I looking for? And the girl that fits, well, that's great. And the girl that doesn't, there's nothing wrong with her. Maybe she has character traits she has to work on. None of my business. I'm going to tell you a shocking thing. When people call me for shiduchim, first thing I say is I'm not the right person to call because I don't have enough time to deal, so I don't. It's not worth your time. But in the event that they want to give me their details anyways, one of the questions I ask is, are you Shomer Negiah? Do you plan on observing within a date the laws of Negiah? So that sounds heretical. Why would a rabbi ask that question? Isn't it obvious? The Torah says you're supposed to do it. Obviously, you're going to do it. So the answer is, I'm dealing with a gamut of people, and some of the people are not going to be Shomer Negiah. So they're not calling me as a rabbi and asking, should I be Shomer Negiah? They know the halacha. What they're calling me is they're saying, can you set me up with someone that matches me? Now, it's catastrophic if you set up a shidduch with a guy or a girl where they don't match on this point. If their expectations aren't equal, that's really not fair. One of them is going to be hurt. So I ask the question because, in my opinion, a shadchan's job has nothing to do with a rabbi's job. Your job is to help make matches. When people will want to talk to you as a rabbi, they'll ask you, is it permissible? Is it not permissible? How do I grow in this area? That's a rabbi question. When they're asking you to set them up, they want someone that matches them. Matches them means, where are they today? I've set up people that are non-observant completely. They don't keep Shabbos or Kashrut. But if I know him and I know her, and it happens to match, so, okay, let's set them up. So that's why, when it comes to Shiduchim, we have to remember, our question is not what's right or wrong, our question is what matches for me. What matches for you? What matches for her? You have no right to give her grades. She has no right to give you grades. The question here is, do we match? And so that's why when we're filling out these sheets, when we're thinking about who am I, the question isn't who do I want to be? The question is, who am I today? There's a separate question. There's a realm of what are my aspirations? And here we have to match. You know, if my aspiration is that my wife should cover her hair, and her aspiration is never to cover her hair, so then there's a question, how could we match? But we have to discern between the question of who am I and the question of what are my aspirations. And there's a question here on Banim, which I think is very important. How do you decide on halachic questions? To my mind, that's one of the key questions that Chozrim B'Tshuva and in general people have to discuss today. We live in an age where you could click your shaila onto Google and see many answers. You'll see a Chabad answer, you'll see a modern Orthodox answer, you'll see a Reform answer, you'll see a conservative answer. Even within Orthodoxy, you have a range. So, how do you decide on halachic questions? To my mind, that's one of the pivotal questions that couples have to discuss. A person has to think for himself. And I gave a bunch of examples. How much should a girl cover her hair? Does she have to cover her hair in the house? What level of kashrut is acceptable at home? Do we use the subway on Shabbat when we take a tour of Europe? Do we leave Israel for the fun of it? All kinds of questions which are relevant to life. And those are obviously just examples. But there's the basic question which I find that guys will often overlook. How do you decide? When a guy comes to me and tells me, I'm dating a girl, everything's great, she just has an issue with covering her hair. So I say, the covering her hair is one question, but how she decides which halachos she keeps and which she doesn't, that's the more pressing question. Because today it's covering her hair, but what's going to be tomorrow with meat and milk and kashrut and other things? I want to understand what system you use, what system she uses. The system interests me more than the specifics. Obviously, the specifics are important. We can't overlook those. But we have to understand that at the root of it all, the question is the system. And that's a question you have to ask yourself as well. How do you decide? This is our starting point. We're still going to go into more depth and discuss more specifics at how you actually date, but this is just for starters as far as our perspective going into things. What did we discuss today? We have to decide who we are. We have to get feedback, external feedback that will help us. We have to remember that external feedback cannot be biased. We have to get someone who as much as possible will be able to look at things our way. We have to remember that whatever counsel we take, at the end of the day, it's our life and we will live with the decision. And that even the greatest rabbi is limited to the information that he knows. En la dayan, ela ma she'enav ra'ot. We discussed the idea that a chozer b'tshuva has a strength that he is a chozer b'tshuva. And whatever girl he's going to marry has to appreciate that and value that. Because part of a correct relationship is that we value those points which are intrinsic to our spouse. Then we discussed that a person should have consistency, look forward 20, 10, 5 years from now. Where do you want to be? And then in 6 months, and try to understand if you're on a real path to get where you want to go. We said one of the difficulties we have in life is discerning between where we really are and where we would like to be. But that's part of what has to happen as we date. We have to be able to describe ourselves. We said it's a good thing to describe who you are the way you would want a shadchan to describe you, and try to get a friend to write it, and then ask him if you can compare yours and his, and see if you can understand where you differ and where you're the same, and how other people perceive you. We discussed the priority list, what's important to you in life, what are you looking for within a partner, and we discussed that the system of how you decide on halachic questions will very often be very critical in understanding if you match with a spouse or not. Mm-hmm.